We are going to be in Matthew chapter 6 will be where we land. There's lots of scripture today, different passages, so you can mark those in your Bible and work through those. They're in your sermon notes, so you don't have to write them all down. You can go find them, and they'll be there. Page 552 in the Bible there at your seats. Matthew chapter 6 is the first book in the New Testament. First is... That was my phone ringing. That's embarrassing as a pastor, isn't it? It's on silent. I don't know if you heard that or not. So we're working through Time Flies, our second message in this series, Time Flies. And last week we started with the idea that we spend a lot more time looking at what time it is or figuring out what time it is than we do with our time, with what we should do with our time. But looking at our time is actually a reminder that we're running out of time. We don't have an endless supply of this thing called time. We have a finite amount. And if we look at the scripture and what the Bible writers said, it's but a vapor. It's short-lived. It's very quick that it happens. We're here today and gone tomorrow in the grand scheme of things. How many of you visited deathclock.com? Chickens. Just kidding. Last week we talked about how biblical it actually is to begin with the end in mind. You've heard me tell you that many times in the past. We need to begin with the end in mind. Today I want to share with you. Oh, last week we talked about the prayer. Remember, we took that prayer up. We give you a little bookmark and we said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And if you didn't get that bookmark, you want to go to the foyer. There's extra bookmarks out there. And if you're watching online, we'd like to send you one. We'll send it to you free. So just on your check-in box, if there's a little comment area somewhere in there, just say, hey, bookmark, and we'll send it out to you. That's all you got to do. Today, we want to go into part two of this series, and I want to share the secret to getting the most out of your time. I want to share with you the secret and how you can expand your capacity. Everyone wants to get more done, right? Typically, that's the case. We would like to get more done in our life. And rather than just talk about it, I want to demonstrate it to you for just a minute or two here. So let's go through this really quickly. You'll have to deal with that later, Matt. There we go. So, you know, little rocks, these little rocks represent all the little things we do in our life. Maybe watching TV or surfing the internet, maybe that'd be a couple, right? That could take a lot of time. Maybe Facebook. How many of you know Facebook can take, you know, that's not one or two. That can be two handfuls, right? Facebook. And then how many of you like to binge watch TV? Isn't Netflix awesome for that? We could just waste so much time. That's just crazy. Will you shut that off? I have no idea who's calling me. I have hearing aids, so I don't even know if you can hear it, but it rings in my ears. So binge watching TV and going through all of that stuff. I was thinking about reruns of Downton Abbey, but that wouldn't be you. That would just be something different. Maybe extra rounds of golf that we do. You know, we're working late. The boss tells us if you don't do this, we're going to lose, you know, and so we have to do some of that. And we end up doing all of this stuff to... That are just little things. They're just they take up a lot of time. They work all of those things out, but they're not the most important things. That's the problem, right? We fill our life full of little things that when all said and done, maybe they're heavy and if we added them all up, but they really don't amount to a whole lot. There's other things out there that maybe are more important. And the thing is, we love these activities for the most part. Maybe not the work thing, but the reruns of Downton Abbey. I mean, that's really great. We love the extra rounds of golf and hanging out with the buddies and all of those things. And that's probably why we put them in so quickly. We're so quick to jump on that, eating out with friends and all of those other things. But they occupy a great deal of our time. And we love them. We love them, right? The bigger rocks, we have two other bigger size rocks, and these are other things that we know are important. We know they're important, like health and exercise, but it's so easy to neglect, right? But we get to a point in life where we go, maybe we shouldn't neglect that anymore. Maybe we should walk every day like the doctors keep telling us over and over and eat better and all of that. And so, you know, we start doing it. At some point in our life, we start doing it. And maybe, just maybe, we should spend more time with the family. We usually don't recognize that we didn't do that until we start to have some big family problems, right? Maybe we should have spent more time, but let's start now. I mean, who knows? And we start doing some of those bigger things that we know are really important, but they're so easy to neglect. Maybe our daily devotions, right? That's a really important thing that we talk about a lot. Maybe personal development or church and community group. That's an easy thing to neglect. I mean, it's a beautiful day outside. Praise God you're here. But some people probably said, hey, we'll catch church online or go out on a boat or whatever, and then they can't get internet and then they don't get around to it. But you guys didn't do that. You made sure the big rock was in, right? And then there's bigger rocks, like, you know, the family. We're big about having dinner at home with our family. That was a big rock for us. That was really important. It wasn't maybe the biggest. This is a little bit bigger. And so we make sure that, but the problem is we can't seem to get it all in. We can't seem to get all of this in when we finally realize no matter how we cram, no matter how we work that in, we just can't seem to get everything in that we want to get in. At some point we wake up and go, I wish we could have done things a little different. I wish we could have gotten more in. And so we start thinking through all of that. The jar, the big jar, represents a day. Could be just a day in your life. It could be a week, a month, a year. It could represent, the jar could represent an entire lifetime. Today, for our illustration purposes, we're just going to say, hey, that's our life. That's our life. And what we normally do, we like to have fun. We like to tackle all the little things at the bottom, right? We get convicted about our family time, so we try to start putting some of that in. But at some point, we often wake up and go, you know, it's just too late. We can't get it all in. The kids have moved out. As I was thinking through this morning, I went, man, Kim wasn't up yet. I was just praying through my message. When I wish I would have cued them in, the band, to do that song. It's that sad song about wouldn't we get time later, Dad? You know, that song. What's that? Cats in the Cradles, right? What a great song. No, that would have been terrible, right? I thought I would bust out in singing, but I don't know the words that well. Thank God for you, right? So at the end of our life, we finally see the need and we try to start meeting it, but at some point, we just can't fix it. We can't get to the end of it. We can't realize that we just can't get it all in. So if this is your experience, there is just not enough time. No matter how much we try to cram, it's not going to work. So here's the deal. The secret to getting more done is not adding. The secret to getting more done is not cramming, right? The secret to getting more done, and my dad taught me this when I was a boy, the secret to getting more done in our life is to prioritize correctly. So let me dump all of this out. Drive the light. Lucy, can you grab this? Fantastic, right? So here's the deal. If we do this just slightly different, and the big giant rock, and this represents the Lord for us, okay? So we're going to put that in first. And then this one is not quite so big, but in our life, this represented our family. I don't know about you, but it's not quite as big, but it's there. And so we got that one in there, right? And then maybe we have the smaller rocks. And for me, maybe for you, maybe, you know, family's in there, but maybe our next biggest rock probably was still family. We just made sure dinner with the family was right up there. I always tried to make sure. It was sometimes once in a while that we couldn't get together, but we wouldn't let stuff crowd that out on purpose. And so, but and while we were doing that, guess what we were doing at dinner? We were talking about the big rock at dinner. We were having fun, sure, but we were making sure the conversations were coming back to the Lord. And then daily devotions, right? And there's other big rocks that you probably have that are important to you. Maybe we'll watch one Downton Abbey, okay? So, but you know what I mean. Before we get into binge watching, we're going to make sure that the important things, before we start eating out, we're going to make sure the finances are balanced, that we're saving for the future and maybe not spending everything we get, because that's going to probably lead to a lot of regret in our life if we do that. Maybe in addition to that, maybe, you know, we should start exercising as early as possible. It makes a bigger difference. So exercise and other rocks that are important and big, you know, you throw in there and you get all that done. Church and community group rocks and, you know, all of that. I wish I had one for each one of them, but that's not how I organize this. So, and then we get to have fun. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy life. We get to have, go out to dinner with some friends. We get to have those cool trips, you know, and all of that stuff. We get to, God, he likes to show us all kinds of stuff we can do. We get to, I put all these down here, Facebook. I mean, man, we can take up some time with Facebook, surfing the internet. We can do all of that stuff that we were talking about earlier. We can hang out with buddies. I love to hang out with my buddies. We can relax at the spa. How many of you like to relax at the spa, right? Once in a while, I had a spa day with Kim, and we can get these all in here, right? And it's just fun. We can do all of that stuff. I wish I had another hand here. Goodness, goodness, goodness. But the cool thing is, when we do it right, oh, wait, there's one left. Is that the Candy Crush? And there's Candy Crush, I guess. That's a game, isn't it? See there? I have an airplane game, so I'll put that in there. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with it, and it looks full, doesn't it? I mean, that looks like a great life. We got it all in. But here's the thing with the Lord. This isn't full yet. This isn't full yet. There's something cool about when we do it with Jesus, when we put God first in our life. If I can pick that up here. The cool thing is we can do even better than this. Look at this. We can get a whole lot more in. Look at this. Isn't that incredible? Boy, I don't think I'm going to have enough sand. Look at that. The Lord just blesses our time, and he enables us to do far more. I've got to get the live stream people on here. Far more than we could do. I do need more sand. Look at that. This is the part I couldn't really practice, Pastor Matt. But it looks pretty full, doesn't it? And I think we can get more in. Look at this. Because isn't this how the Lord works? The Lord just says in Psalm chapter 23, he says, my cup overflows, doesn't he? My cup overflows. And the Lord, we thought we could arrange our lives a certain way. We thought we could do things a certain way and we'll figure it out, right? And it didn't work out so well. But here's the deal. We can just, the Lord, we put him in the middle. We make him first. We can just keep adding and adding and adding. We can get more and more done than we ever thought possible. We can get more done and we can just keep going and going and going because, wow, the Lord just is going to allow us to overflow it a little and keep going, right? Listen, here's the bottom line. I want you to know this today. Look at this. Priority determines capacity. Priority determines capacity. That's something my daddy taught me a long, long time ago. Priority determines capacity. The secret to getting more done is not adding. The secret to getting more done is not cramming. Rarely can we cram more into a 24-hour period of time. The secret to getting more done is prioritizing correctly. The problem is we don't put the big rocks in first. The problem is we don't put the important rocks in first. Instead, we usually prioritize the urgent over the important. And here's something you need to know about that. The urgent is urgent. Write that down. Let me share with you another one. The important is important. Write that down. Makes sense, right? That's not rocket science. But here's the one you may not fully know. The urgent is rarely important. Seems like it's important, feels like it's important, but there's usually some bigger rocks out there that we didn't pay attention to, or we have to neglect to get the squeaky wheel, the grease. Make sense? And that's the problem. But we're wired that way. We can't say no. We have such a hard time saying no. We're addicted instead to accomplishing, instead of really getting things done, instead of getting something important done. We become what we live around. Also, that's another challenge with this whole priority problem. Is it's not always good, but it's hard to prioritize correctly when no one else around you is doing it. It's really hard to swim against that tide. Not only is there peer pressure and there's some insecurities, and let's just go with the flow. And why do you keep bucking the system? But remember Mary and Martha? But Mary chose what was important. Martha was busy, but Mary chose what was important. And those are all contributing factors, that's for sure. But the main reason, the main reason we don't put the big rocks here, I can add some more, look at that. The main reason we don't put the big rocks in first is really so much simpler. And I love to make complicated things simple. The main reason we don't put the big rocks in first, the main reason we don't put the important rocks in first, is we never stopped long enough to determine what the big rocks were. We never stopped long enough to consider what is the most important thing in our life? What are the big rocks in the first place? That's the real problem that we face when it comes to priority determines capacity. We haven't taken time to determine who the big rock is. We haven't determined what the big rock is. And we have to begin right there. What are the big rocks in your life? What are they? What are the non-negotiables? What are the things that really will make a difference in the long run? I know your boss is screaming at you, and I know you're going to have to work late one night next week. I get that. But what is really important? What is the most important thing really in your life? What and who are those big rocks? Some of you are sitting next to your big rock. Look over at your big rock, baby. If you're married, would you turn to your spouse and go, "Baby, you're my big rock." Right now. Come on. Come on. You can do it, Joe. Come on. Tell her. Yeah. Come on, Charlie. You're my big rock, baby. Ooh. That is so sexy, isn't it? Hey, we live in a world that is constantly baiting us into prioritizing things that we've never chosen. Listen, there's things that are competing with that person next to you, and you didn't choose it. If you don't choose what's important and put it in first place, or prioritize your life in the right order, listen carefully, someone else will choose for you. And they won't choose correctly. You'll wake up one day far from where you wanted to be, primarily in the realm of your relationships. And they're never urgent. They're important. They're very important, but relationships are rarely urgent. And they're most damaged by busyness. Busyness and intimacy don't mix very well. That's just the nature of relationships. We add and add and add and add and add. And our important relationships get compressed and compressed and compressed. Because they understand, right? The cure to busyness is not to try to be less busy. That will never work. Life is busy by nature. I mean, it's busy to start with. You were born into a busy world. You become less busy and more productive by determining what's important and prioritizing around that. That's how you get less busy and more productive. In other words, you decide on purpose what the big rocks are because, listen, priority determines capacity. Now, this is where our paths might diverge quite dramatically, like completely different directions. If you're not a Jesus follower, then you have an option. You have the option of sitting down and you can decide for yourself what's most important, and then you can prioritize your life accordingly, and you should do that. Your life, actually, if you're not a Jesus follower and you've heard me so far, your life will actually be better if you do that, for a time at least. Eventually, if you don't put the first thing first, your life will blow up anyway, and you'll come to the end of that. But for that time, your life will be better as a result if you don't follow Jesus and you apply this advice. But if you're a follower of Jesus, or you're contemplating being a follower of Jesus, somebody online, you're thinking about being a Jesus follower, then you should know before you make that decision, you should know that the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, addresses this issue really deeply. And we are told what we are to prioritize and in what order we're supposed to do that. God is the biggest rock. If I could reach down there and grab that big rock and show you, I would, but I would be messy. We can add more water, by the way. I don't know if you know that. This thing just keeps going, right? These little bubbles float up. God is the biggest rock, and we are to put God first in our life, and nothing is to compete with that. On the railroad trestle between Eastport and East Moriches on Montauk Highway, you might have seen that. How many of you have seen that, right? And in really giant letters, it says, "Family First." That's really sweet, isn't it? That's really nice. Isn't it? Sounds right, doesn't it? That sounds really good. But friends, listen, if you put family first above God, you will be esteeming the gift over the gift giver. God gave you your family. That's right. Beloved, listen carefully, that's idolatry. Friends, that's sin. We have to repent of that. It's not family first. It never has been family first. It's God first. It's always been God first. Now listen, you'll take your family, if that's you, you'll take your family straight to hell with you if you have a family first priority system in your life. Now, I'm not sugarcoating it. I don't have enough weeks to sugarcoat it for you. That's just the reality. So don't get me wrong. You've heard me say it many times. Family is a big rock. And it should be a big rock. This is what I'm telling you today, is it just can't be the biggest rock. It'll never work that way. You'll never get it all in. In fact, Moses and David had a lot to say about God being a rock. Look at this, Moses right here in, this might have been David, Psalm 18:31. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? The Bible term for prioritize is seek. Anytime you seek, it's a priority. You need to put your heart into this. We are instructed to seek God above everything else. Here's David's version in Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. How many things can you earnestly seek at one time? Just one, right? That's how we earnestly seek. If we have two things, then we're looking for something because our devotion is split, but we're not earnestly seeking. We have to be about earnestly seeking after one thing. This is a God-first orientation that ultimately impacts every single area of our life. Look at this verse. I seek you with all my heart, not part of it, not half of it, not some of it, but all of it. Do not let me stray from your commandments. And when we do this, God orients our life and makes everything fit in. He helps us when we put him in first, prioritize the rest, and make the most impact that we possibly can with our life. Solomon said in Proverbs 28:5, evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. It informs our decisions. When we put God first, it informs the decisions that we make. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? You see, don't put these things first, Jesus is saying. For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Really? My heavenly Father knows that he needs that we need these things? Yes, he does. He does. He pays attention to every little detail in every one of our lives. Everyone. But listen carefully. Seek first. Seek first. Our job is to reprioritize our life. Our job is to rearrange our schedules. Our job is to reorder around the first thing. That's our job. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And look at this. All these other things that the pagans are all running and freaking out about, all these other things will be given to you as well, just as we demonstrated a few moments ago. Everything that needs to fit in, if you make first thing first, will fit in and you'll be just fine. Isn't that a cool lesson? Seek. Seek first. Trust in means to make the will of God the organizing principle in your life. God is the first rock. God is by far the biggest rock. We think by putting him first that he'll push other things out. We won't have enough time. We won't be able to do the fun things that we want to do. He's going to call us to Indonesia somewhere to do missions work. That probably isn't the case. That's not the case at all. Instead, he arranges things so everything fits in. And we'll look back at our life and go, ah, we made that decision right. The rock around which all other rocks are prioritized and fit together. Relationships, money, entertainment, friends, retirement, plans, budgeting, money, marriage, career, health, diet, church, listen to me, even carbs take a second place to God. Don't they? Amen? Any amens on that?
Amen.
Right? It's saying, God, your will is my priority. God, I want you above absolutely everything else. Thy will be done on earth. God, thy will be done in my life. That's what this priority thing is talking about. The most tangible expression of this is to give God the very first segment of your time every single morning. every single day as a reflection of your surrender to Him. If you can start the day with the big rock in first in your devotions, in your Bible reading, in your prayer. Listen, before my wife's feet touch the ground, she's, well, maybe second. She went usually does one other thing first. But then the bed rises up and she puts her devotions on. I can hear them in my office across the hallway. Before anything else, she's reading her Bible. She put the big rock in first. And when I do that in my life, when I begin my day saying yes to my Heavenly Father, when I do my devotions first thing in the morning, I find it so much easier to say no to the things that often distract me. When I start my devotions and the first thing in the morning, I set my mind and my heart, say, God, help me today to see as you see so I can do as you say. I find it so much easier to say yes, because I hate interruptions. But I find it so much easier to say yes to those interruptions that I need to give my time to. Say, God, I know I had an agenda today, but I know this is your hand. Lord, help me walk through that door. I find it so much easier when I start my day with Jesus and my big rock goes in first. That's my day-tight container there, and I put that rock in and other rocks start filling in around me, some by my choice, some by other people's choices. I tend to worry a whole lot less when I put Him first in the morning. If you've experienced this in your life on any given day, would you just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? I don't think I'm preaching anything new to you this morning. I just think this is a reminder. Do you see all those hands go up? Can I ask you a question? Why would we ever not put God first in our life? For that extra 20 minutes of sleep, really? For somebody crowding out and letting anything else come between that? Really? Why would we do that? Here's the thing as we close. You are seeking something first. We all do. There's some organizing principle around which your time is organized, right? You should know what that is. You should know what that thing is. And here's the problem. Most of us aren't self-aware enough to know that. It takes someone that's really purposeful in life to be self-aware. It's really hard to be self-aware. I get that. But you need to take time to figure out what you are putting in first place. You need to take time to say, who is it that is in first place? Who is it that's competing the most with the God rock? And if you're not sure what it is, there's a very easy way, uncomfortable way, to figure out who it is or what it is that's taking up that first place spot if you don't know already. You may not honestly know, but you know who does? Look at the person next to you. Your big rock, they know. He knows, she knows, your wife knows, your husband knows. You know who else knows in your life? This is going to be hard for you to realize if you're not self-aware and you got to ask, man, the question, the answer might sting a little bit. You know who else knows? Your kids know. That would preach a whole sermon right there, wouldn't it? Your kids know who your big rock is. Do you know who else knows? Because it's not really that much of a secret. Everybody knows around you, really. But your friends know. Your friends know what's most important to you. Ask them. And then don't get mad at them. I know it's going to sting probably a whole lot, especially if we're not self-aware and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. That's normal. That's what the Bible tells us. But when we ask and we get a correction like that, and that's from the Lord, and we can know it is because it hurts and there's truth in it, we get defensive, don't we? But a wise man listens to wise advice. A foolish man just says, I don't care, and goes plunging ahead. Don't be the foolish man this morning. Listen. What are you actually seeking first? Recognition? Approval? Fame? Wealth? Food? Lower golf score? Size 4? Size 0? I heard that's a size now. Size negative 1? 1,000 friends on Facebook, maybe. What is it you're seeking first? Be honest with yourself. This is the time to really press in and go, God, show me, open my heart. Let me not be defensive. Let me not be silly, foolish with this, but really show me. I think we should all seek all of those things. There's nothing wrong in and of themselves in those things. We are wired, in fact, to seek those things. Some of those are appetites that God has given us, or cravings, things that God wants us to physically do. Here's the thing, though. I just am preaching today that we shouldn't seek any one of those things first, or probably second, or third. They should be in the correct priority, and God must be first in our life. And when God is the God Rock goes in first, He Himself creates healthy limits on all the others. He prioritizes all the other rocks and activities and busynesses and all of those other things. You will not be less productive, but you will be in your life far more balanced and healthy in every area. We think we'll be more productive if we do that. Exercise every day, that's going to take like 5 hours a week, or you know, 2.5 hours. And if I do my devotions, that's, and then we start completing all, I don't have enough time to begin with now, and we start budgeting this stuff in our time. But listen, when we do it, God works it all out, just like in our giving. Many of you are on the tithe challenge, and you started giving, and you had no idea how that was going to work out, and you started doing it, and it just works. It just does, because God promises to do that. The same thing is true with our time. The same exact thing is true anytime we put God first in a relationship, in our time, in our money, in anything. It just seems to reprioritize and refocus and rework. Listen, Jesus wasn't unproductive, and He always put the Father first. Was Jesus unproductive? Was He? Would you say Jesus didn't get much done? Look at what He did in 3 years. He changed the world. Nobody's going to be quoting you in 2,000 years, but they're still going to be quoting Him, right? Right? Your heavenly Father will not force His way into the center of your life. He's way too much of a gentleman for that. He's not going to force His way in. But if you invite him there, if you invite the Father to take up residence in the very center of your life, you put Him first, it'll make all the difference in your life, because priority determines capacity. It always does. Priority determines capacity. What's going in first? Priority determines capacity. What are you seeking first? Priority determines capacity. Who are you seeking first? Father, we come before You today in Jesus' name, and we ask You, God, to give us some repentance today. Lord, repentance is a gift from God. Repentance is a gift from God, Lord. We cannot repent. We cannot change our hearts without You actually doing the changing. Holy Spirit, we just come before You today, and Lord, I'm convicted in this message. I'm preaching with them, not to them. And Father, sometimes it's so easy to allow stuff to creep into first place. Lucy, would you just put that down? Just be real still for just a minute. No distractions for just a second. Listen. Would you just invite the Holy Spirit to speak into your life right now? We don't have any music playing. This isn't an emotional ploy. Some of you haven't done your devotions all week, all month. Some of you haven't had dinner, don't even know when the last time you had dinner with your family was. one I have in my notes and I missed it somehow was date night. That was drilled into us, me especially. That was drilled into me. I'm so glad it was. Every week we invest in our relationship together. We're going to be husband and wife. And I always told Kim and I told the boys, someday you're going to move out and we are empty nesters today. We have no kids at home. And some couples wake up on that day and they don't even know. They're like, who are you in my bed? Because they didn't invest in their family, in their marriage. Some of you need to start dating and courting your wife. Men, that's your responsibility to make sure that happens. Holy Spirit, would you grant repentance right now? Lord, if you haven't been first, would you make that the priority? Would you help us repent of that, which means agree with you? God, we forgive us. Would you just ask God to forgive you? If that's you, God, forgive me for you being in second, third, fourth, fifth, 100th place. Not, Lord, I can't even find you. Would you just forgive me for not making you first? And Lord, tomorrow I'm going to empty the, today, God, I'm going to empty this jar out. I'm just going to start over. I know, Lord, I've blown it in a few areas, and I don't know how to fix it, Lord, but I'm just going to trust you today and let you start reordering my rocks. But you're first. And help me wake up a few minutes earlier and do my devotions. Help me start with prayer and the reading of the Word. And Lord, let that Word come in and begin to shape my priorities. And Lord, help me put my family next. Your Word tells us to invest in your children are your very first disciples. We're called to make disciples, and some of you will give money, and some of you will serve on projects, but you've never talked to your children about Jesus. Your children are your first disciples, your very first disciples. So God, we pray, we ask you, Lord, if that's been something we've neglected. Maybe the kids are out of the house. Maybe we need to have a weekly Skype call. Maybe we need to FaceTime every week. Whatever that looks like to begin to build that time, Lord. I know this isn't going to be healed overnight, but God, with you first, you can guide and lead that process to where we can begin to change that. And God, would you just by your miraculous power, we sang about miracles earlier, would you begin to heal those relationships that we blew up because we put work or we put money or we put fame or we put a Facebook friend or we put money or something else ahead of whatever was more important. We put something urgent in that place, and God, have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our foolishness, God, because Lord, now we see it. Now we get it. And God, now we need to fix it, but God, we don't even know how to do that. Lord, would you begin to work that out in each one of our lives? People watching online today, Lord, would you begin working that miracle out in every life? Would you help us not delude ourselves into thinking something is important when it's just urgent? Would you help us, Lord, to have things in the right priority? Would you help us use the most powerful word in the English language? No. Appropriately. Would you help us do that, that you might be honored, that you might be glorified in everything that is said and done in our life, that we might honor you because priority, Lord, determines capacity. And Lord, we want to get this right starting today. Father, we need you. We need you in every area of our life. Help us turn the TV off. Help us set Facebook aside. If that's a Facebook fast, praise the Lord. If that's just, Lord, we don't pick that up till this is done, that's okay too. Whatever that looks like, God, help us, Lord, to do that. And Lord, we'll give you praise. Lord, we'll give you honor. We'll give you glory and worship, Lord. Work these things in our life that we may reflect the glory of God back to you and give you all the crowns on that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. hey, would you take your communication cards out? And if you're going to take that step, would you mark that on your communication card in the next step? We want to be praying for you this week. I'm going to enlist the help of our prayer team, and we're going to be lifting you up to the Lord this week. Because it's not going to be easy. Things are going to compete for that time spot, and you're going to be so tempted to just keep going the way you've been going. But you want to make that change. This is really important, all right? Amen? Ushers, why don't you receive those communication cards? Pastor Matt, why don't you come lead us in our benediction as they do that? And don't bump the table.
Okay. We'll let the ushers go ahead and receive those communication cards. If they miss those, you can just give them to them on the way out the door today. Let's stand for our benediction. Let's put our hands out in a posture of receiving. Lord, we just bless you and honor you today, God, for who you are, Lord. Your faithfulness, your goodness in our life, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this opportunity this morning on a beautiful day such as today, Lord, to just come and just declare this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, just for these people that have gathered in this room, whether it's their first time or whether they've been coming here for years, God, I pray that, Lord, you would just bless them, that you would keep them, that you would make your face shine down on them, Lord, and that you would give them your peace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And go in peace.